Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tuesday afternoon. What up, upstate South Carolina? Hello to you and how do you do? Welcome in to the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. What is happening, y'all? Great to be with you. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. I am Rob Brown. After a long three-day weekend, rested, recovered, and ready to rock and roll. Back in the network studio, in control of a microphone, buttons, switches, levers, knobs, and other assorted radio equipment. The great one, Lonzo, his team still alive in the playoffs. Zoe, I told you. It's a life of a Saints fan. It's just heartbreak and disappointment all the damn time. That's just how it goes.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about Drew Brees next year.
Oh, thanks for making it better, buddy. Appreciate you making me feel better.
Well, it isn't like he threw a touchdown or anything. I mean, you know, it's going to get better. It will. It will improve. Jameis is your guy now. And you're going to have a lot of touchdowns. You're going to have some interceptions, maybe a lot of interceptions, but you're going to have a lot of touchdowns.
Oh, man.
By the way, I'm reading up on concussion protocol and trying to figure out how you can be in concussion protocol when you don't have a concussion.
Yeah, here's the thing. I read about that. We're going to talk about this later on in the program. The understanding that I have is that it wasn't a Lamar. Patty Mahomes is going to play this weekend. Because he does not have a concussion, the rumor that's been floating around, and this is certainly what it appeared to be during the Chiefs game this past weekend against the Browns, when he got his head kind of twisted around, which I don't believe for a second was a dirty play. I think it's just an inherent risk of football. When he got his head twisted around, it pinched a nerve off in his head or in his neck leading into his head, which is what caused the dizziness. I will tell you that when I, a few months ago, you'll remember, I over a weekend passed out and fell forward, stood up, got very dizzy, fell out face first, hit my teeth on the concrete, knocked off the bottom half of my front two teeth. It was not pretty. I was like 8%. Less handsome than I am on a day-to-day basis. But when I started talking to the doctors that night in the emergency room, trying to figure out what happened, what they told me their best bet was that at some point I either pinched a nerve or I pinched an artery or a vein and prevented enough blood from getting into my head. And when your brain loses blood or signal for any length of time, it will cause rapid dizziness. And that's what happened to me up to the point that I got so bad I passed out. And the popular thought right now is that that's what happened to Patrick Mahomes, that he had either a nerve pinched or he had a vein or artery pinched in his neck somewhere that caused the blood to quit pumping efficiently to his brain, which is where that dizziness came from. But Zoe, forget for Chiefs fans, for football fans in general, that was a very, very scary moment when Patrick Mahomes went down, came up woozy, couldn't stand up, was very wobbly, couldn't get his feet underneath him, needed help from multiple guys to get off the field. Super scary moment, not just for the Chiefs, but for football fans in general.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm everyone collectively, I'm sure, was very concerned for him. And the fact that they took him back to the locker room, that made it even worse. And then they showed the play over and over again. It's like, how could you get a and I guess it's possible, but I didn't see any way that – and now that you've explained it about the pinched nerve, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, that seems – like I said, that seems to be the popular opinion floating around on Twitter right now, is that it had to be something got pinched in his neck, or in his up in the region where it connects to the skull. Obviously, up through your spinal column, you've got an enormous amount of veins, of arteries, of lengthy nerves that your brain sends every signal. You know, this is just the way the body evolved. All of the synapses in your brain, as they fire for everything that your body does, all of those signals are sent right through the base of your skull down through your spinal column to the rest of your body. And the thought is that when he got his head twisted, because as that linebacker came around, you saw he kind of had not a grasp on the helmet itself, but his arms were definitely wrapped around Patrick Mahomes' head. And the thought is that as he twisted around, he would have likely twisted something and pinched something in Patrick Mahomes' neck, which is what caused that very obvious dizziness. I mean, for a second, it didn't look like Patrick Mahomes knew what year it was.
Well, you know, the other problem, the other concern I had was the fact that he never came back out. If it was just the nerve thing, I don't know about recovery from that, but it's not a concussion. I guess they had to keep him back there to make sure it wasn't a concussion, and those protocols take a while to get through and all that kind of stuff. But the fact that he didn't come back out, that really made it scary.
Yeah, and again, I'll tell you, not that what happened to me was exactly what happened to Patrick Mahomes, but it certainly sounds similar. It sounds like there was a very similar issue. What happened to me was that when I got laying down on the – so I fell out and obviously hit the front of my teeth and shattered my front two teeth. When I came to and they rolled me over onto my back, I felt fine. I really did. I felt okay. I was talking to there was a doctor in the building that I was in that came over, and I was answering questions. And he's like, well, you don't have a concussion. You seem totally fine from a baseline standard. When the EMS showed up, there was a fire crew there, and then an ambulance showed up. When the EMS and the ambulance showed up, had no issue talking with them when I was laying on the ground, felt just fine. And after a couple of minutes, they were like, all right, man, we're going to set you up. Need you to get up and sit up and start interacting with us. And I said, fine. I sat up, and as soon as I sat up, that feeling started right back. Like, it immediately felt I had the same feeling that I was going to pass back out, which looked a lot like the way that Mahomes felt. I was very dizzy. I couldn't really get my body under itself, if that makes sense. I had no base. Even sitting down, I didn't feel comfortable. So I laid back down and I felt fine. Once they finally got me up and standing and walking around, I felt just fine. But that took about 45 minutes before I was able to stand up and really feel like I had my sea legs back, was back out. My bet is it was likely something similar for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I know we saw him running off the field back to the locker room, and he looked fine. But I don't know. I went back. I replayed that whole thing a couple of times trying to see what I could pick out from it. And even running back to the locker room, though, he didn't really look to me like he was running with a purpose. He looked like a guy who was running with one intention, which was to not fall back down, because he knew good and damn well if he was to eat turf again, there was zero chance he was coming back on the field. He looked like a guy who was just trying to get to the locker room to give himself a chance to come back.
Yeah, they just showed it. SportsCenter's on in the studio, and they just showed it again. And there's no visible it just looks like a normal tackle, and I didn't see any, you know, intentional twisting or anything. It's just the way the play went, and the fact that that there's a possibility he could play this. You know what, it's more about the health of the person than it is the player, and if he's not ready to play, I hope they don't rush him back. Of course, I would like to see him play. because they got a better shot at winning with him in there. But if not, you know, then rest them.
Sure, absolutely. And we'll talk more about that coming up later on in the show. But before we get there, let's hit it, the lunch breakdown, the three things you have to know before we start talking sports with your friends, family, coworkers of the wall, whoever you spend your lunch break with. We were just talking about it a second ago. Our conference championships are now set for this weekend. Drew Brees and his New Orleans Saints have an absolute fart noise of a performance against Tom Brady and the Bucks. The Saints go 2-1 and dominate Tampa Bay in the regular season, but all that matters was the postseason, and a 30-20 victory moves Tom Brady into his 14th conference championship. By the way, and I did get a good laugh at this, Lonzo. Since 1994, the Dallas Cowboys have, since the last Super Bowl win, the Dallas Cowboys have exactly zero NFC championship appearances. Tom Brady now has more NFC championship appearances than the Dallas Cowboys do as an organization in the entire 21st century to date. Look, you can argue he's a systems quarterback. You can say he gets more credit than he deserves. The one thing you can't say is that Brady's not in the NFC championship game. It wasn't like an incredibly stellar performance. There's probably 12, 13 other quarterbacks in the league who could have played the game that Brady played, but when it came down to it in the third and fourth quarter, when Tampa Bay needed him to make the right calls, he did just that, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a wild card team, are heading up to Lambeau Field.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep in the last minute. Yeah, I'm trying to be careful about what I say, but anyone who's lauding the great play of Tom Brady didn't see the game that I saw. I saw New Orleans lose this game. I didn't see Tampa Bay win it. And if Tampa Bay did win, it wasn't because of him. Yeah, he helped a little bit, but he wasn't the savior that led them to this playoff win. As you said, there are a couple other quarterbacks. I would say two-thirds of the other quarterbacks in the league could have won this game. And stop it. Just stop. Everybody out there, just stop it.
We're going to come back to that exact discussion a little bit later on in the show. Other NFC game, the Green Bay Packers knock off the LA Rams 32-18. They are the one seed. Aaron Rodgers has been to five NFC championship games. This will be the first time that he plays an NFC championship game in Green Bay. 23 of 36, 296, and a pair of touchdowns. Aaron Jones went for 99 and a touch on the ground as well. Jared Goff, 21 of 27 for 170 yards and one touchdown and 84 QBR. It wasn't an awful day for the Rams. I mean, they really played halfway decent football, Lonzo. It just came down to it that they were up against the best team in the NFC, at least on paper to this point.
Now, if you want to talk about a quarterback, now there's a quarterback to be talking about Aaron Rodgers, who looked great and the team looked great. It looked relaxed, and the Rams did play them really good. Green Bay is scary. They really are scary all the way around. Green Bay, good shot that they're going to win this entire thing, and I think everyone's kind of leaning that way now.
Yeah, I got to tell you right now, and we're going to talk about the AFC games coming up here in a second, but right now I've got to say that of the four teams remaining, the Green Bay Packers look like the best team in football right now. We're going to, again, circle back and talk a little bit more about this coming up over the progression of the next 2 hours and 44-ish minutes. Cleveland gave everything they had to Lonzo's Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, as we mentioned, had to exit that game in the fourth quarter due to some issues with his neck that caused dizziness, caused him to fall out a little bit. Baker Mayfield, not an awful day, 23 of 37, 204, a touch and a pick. Nick Chubb, 13 carries, 69 yards. Kareem Hunt had 6 for 32 and a touch. But really, Kansas City, who was up 19-3 at halftime. And we're going to talk about this in depth, too. that hit on the almost, well, what would have been close to the last scoring play of the first half into the end zone goes Rashard Higgins. He gets hammered at the end zone. The ball fumbles out of his arms through the back of the end zone. It ends up being a touchback. Kansas City able to go about 50 yards to set up a field goal to end the half and take a 19-3 lead into the locker room instead of what would have likely been more along the lines of a 14-10 score, whatever it would have been. It would have been a dramatically different game had that gone down. And a lot of people, though, feel like that rule is one of the worst in the NFL and may have contributed to costing the Browns that football game.
You know, I think it's funny that the people complain about a rule only when it doesn't seem to go the way. Did you care about this rule until this game? The rule's been in place for a while, I believe, and it's just been that way. You know what? Hang on to the ball. That's what you got to do. Hang on to the ball. Maybe don't reach out at that last second. I understand it's cool. You make the highlights, all that kind of stuff. But if you're trying to win a game, secure the ball. Don't do something like that because there's a chance that that could happen.
We're going to come back to that later on in the show as well. 22-17, a hell of an effort from the C-Town Browns, but Kansas City able to get the dub. And finally, in our other AFC matchup, the only game that I called incorrectly this weekend, Buffalo didn't just beat the Ravens of Baltimore. They beat them start to finish. Josh Allen, 37, 206 and a touchdown. Held Lamar Jackson to just 14 of 24, a buck 62, and one interception. No Ravens rushing back got over 42 yards of running. Kind of interesting. Buffalo didn't have a single rusher over 25 yards on the ground. Stephon Diggs, 8 grabs, 106 yards, and a touch. No Baltimore receiver had over 87 yards. That was Hollywood Marquise Brown. J.K. Dobbins had 51 out of the backfield. This game chalks up, frankly, Zoe, to Buffalo's defense. I mean, offensively, it's not like Buffalo was a juggernaut out there. This one came down to the Bills' defense, who kept Lamar in check. Lamar had to leave the game late because of an injury as well. Tyler Huntley came in, 6 of 13, 60 yards through the air, and was under pressure from the Bills' defense. I got to tell you, man, this Bills team, they went from, hey, that fun-loving underdog team to, hey, Chiefs better watch out because this Bills team is for real.
Absolutely, they are scary for sure, and I mean, it took it to Baltimore. They did, but Buffalo's been playing like this all year long, so we shouldn't be too surprised. And the fact that we're going to get a rematch to a close game that was earlier this year, I can't wait for this. Kind of.
Item number two: the University of Tennessee has fired head coach Jeremy Pruitt. We thought it was a possibility because they would want Hugh Freeze, but it turned out something way worse ended up happening. Pruitt and 9 others were fired yesterday for cause when an internal investigation found what the university chancellor described as, quote, serious violations of NCAA rules. Chancellor Donnie Plowman said Pruitt was responsible for overseeing the program and that there were multiple issues within the program stemming from a failure of Pruitt to monitor his program successfully. After a 3-7 campaign, Pruitt's firing means Tennessee will be looking for its 5th different head coach since the Vols last won the SEC's Eastern Division way back in 2007. A number of violations were described. One of the most egregious, though, was that Tennessee coaches were apparently on recruiting trips handing, and I'm describing this as the reports are coming in, Dan Patrick, amongst many other college football sources, are citing this as accurate, waiting on further details to come in. But it was described that the Tennessee coaches were handing McDonald's bags full of cash to recruits that were on campus during official recruiting visits. That the most egregious of a number of violations that were outlined by the university in the firing of Jeremy Pruitt. The problem that Tennessee has now, Lonzo, is that they not only have to hire a head coach, but it is likely that Tennessee is going to have some hefty sanctions poured down upon it, either self-imposed or by the NCAA. If you are a Hugh Freeze looking to get back to the top tiers of the SEC, Tennessee suddenly is not a super attractive place to jump in and get your feet wet again. What a terrible, terrible day for the Volunteers yesterday.
All I know is if you're handing out Happy Meals, you should expect some wins. So that cash did not translate to victories on the field. You know, if you're going to get in trouble and you're going to get in big trouble, possibly lose your job, at least get some wins in there, you know?
Yeah.
Make it worthwhile that way, and they did not. And why McDonald's bags? I mean, are they children?
I mean, if you're standing in a parking lot, if somebody walks over and just hands somebody a full McDonald's bag and then immediately walks away, your head goes one of two places. Either that person was hungry and the other person, it was convenient for them to hit the MacD's on the way by, or I just watched something bad that I wasn't supposed to see happen. One of the two.
Yeah, I know what that is in my old neighborhood. And
yeah.
So, it technically that's what it was. It was an exchange of funds for services rendered in the future, I suppose. Man, it's kind of blatant, but you know those $1,000 handshakes and stuff. Those things do happen and probably still happen. They just decided to put it in. I just hope that there was actually a Big Mac or a quarter pounder in there with it.
Hey, you get grease all over the bills, man. You know
they still spend the same.
Like I'm not above a McDonald's. I'm still known to stop in and grab my filet of fish every now and then. But I don't.
As long as you're not a McRib guy.
No.
Okay. All right.
No. Why? Okay. What is wrong with people that the McRib is still a thing?
Because if something's limited edition, well, I got to get it while I can, even though it comes out every year, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, McDonald's fries. I'm still down with the fries.
Yeah. Filet of fish. Double QPC meal is like the staple on a roadie for me. You know. But McRib. Have you ever seen a McRib before they cook it? Ugh. No.
Yes, I have.
Ugh. No. All right. And finally, item number three, I'm actually going to push to the next segment because it is a segment. When we come back here in just a minute, I watched the athlete who has probably had the biggest impact on my life and my family's lives walk off the field for probably the last time. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that and ask you a question when we come back on the other opposite side. My name is Rob Brown. Lazo's in charge. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, you will be a part of the show. Text us 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Call us 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number. And tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, and at ESPN Upstate. Text line 71307 at ESPN. So we're saying the Tennessee recruits getting the supersized meal or something off the value menu. Yeah, I would say so. I would say they got a lot of cheese in that bag, a lot of cheddar in that bag. So the story goes. All right, I put up a blog on Sunday afternoon, I don't remember, but I wrote a blog over the weekend about Drew Brees. And I know we're in Carolina country, but this is deeper than an NFL rivalry. This is more than just football. And if you guys want to go read it, it's up on our Facebook page. I reposted it this morning. In fact, I know I did on our Facebook page. At facebook.com/ESPN Upstate, or you can just go to ESPNUpstate.com. It's pinned to the front page. But the reason that so many Saints fans, and I got a lot of crap on Sunday night for the emotion that Saints fans, including myself, were showing about Drew Brees and Drew Brees leaving more than likely the New Orleans Saints this weekend. Let me tell you a little bit about why that was so emotional for Saints fans, so emotional for me, et cetera, et cetera. Drew Brees, when he left the San Diego Chargers because he had a blown rotator cuff, went down to Miami, went down to the Dolphins, and did a physical with Miami. Nick Saban, who was the coach at the time of the Miami Dolphins, wanted to keep Drew Brees. And speak of Lonzo, one of those butterfly effect time type moments. How different is college football today if Nick Saban did get the doctors to sign off on and get Drew Brees in a Dolphins uniform? He likely is successful enough at the NFL level that he's probably the head coach of the Miami Dolphins for 4, 5, 6 years or more. Isn't at the University of Alabama, who continue to wallow in mediocrity, unable to find a Nick Saban to come be the next head coach. How much different does college football look if the doctors for the Miami Dolphins would have signed off on Drew Brees' injury and his return to Miami?
Wow. Well, I mean, you can look at it that that could have happened, but maybe Drew Brees is better for having been with Sean Payton all those years, too.
Oh, he absolutely is.
Maybe Saban wouldn't have been able to find that magic in Drew Brees, but you got to believe Drew Brees, such a great quarterback that he would have won wherever he went. And, yeah, so there would have been no Saban passing up Bear Bryant. There would have been things would look a whole lot different for sure.
Yeah. I have to agree. I don't know that Drew Brees owns as many of the NFL's passing records as he owns now. He won't, because the reports are that Brady's coming back for at least one more year, regardless of what happens in the playoffs to his Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. But anyway, when Drew Brees ended up down in New Orleans in 2006, remember the 2005 season was the year after Hurricane Katrina. When Katrina hit in August of 2005, the Saints were coming off of a 500 campaign the year before. Jim Haslett, it looked like, had maybe started to find his stride. Aaron Brooks had matured as a quarterback over the previous year. There were a lot of us that thought that, hey, maybe the Saints have finally turned a corner. And then Hurricane Katrina hit August 29th, 2005. I was actually on a cross-country road trip with my family. And I remember as Katrina came ashore across the Gulf Coast, my family and I were doing what we could to check in with all of our family members that were in New Orleans and Mississippi and Alabama, across the Florida Panhandle, etc. We were trying to keep up with them. We're huddled around TVs watching the images of the damage and destruction. And that season in 2005 ended up being the kind of a lost season for the Saints. Ended up going 3-13. Their home games were played between San Antonio, Texas, and Tiger Stadium down in Baton Rouge. The Saints were just terrible. That season ends. The Superdome is in tatters. The roof has fallen off. It's flooded. People died inside of that building. It was terrible. 2006 shows up. Jim Haslett gets let go. Sean Payton gets brought in. Reggie Bush becomes the draft pick for the New Orleans Saints the next year, and they sign a cat out of San Diego with a busted rotator cuff named Drew Brees, and I really do think that they thought they were bringing this guy in to basically be a game manager quarterback for a season or two while they waited on finding their next franchise guy, and obviously the rest is history. In the 06 season, the Saints end up going to their first NFC championship game. They would lose to the Bears of Chicago later on in that season in the NFC championship game. It was one of the most painful losses of my career. But, hell, we got there. We made it. We were ready to turn the corner. It was just a couple of seasons later in 2009 that Drew Brees would accomplish the impossible and bring the Saints their first Super Bowl win. This guy saved that franchise, because remember, after the Katrina season, the Superdome was rebuilt, phenomenal season, but going into that season, there were many, many people, myself included, that thought we were going to watch the New Orleans Saints become the Los Angeles Saints or the San Antonio Saints or the Oklahoma City Saints. We thought we were going to lose our team. Tom Benson had shown that he wanted to move the team to make money. The NFL had been trying for years to get a team back in Los Angeles, and what team would have been better for that move at the time than a team that was, you know, with a tattered house, a fan base that probably and likely couldn't afford to spend a ton of money supporting that team? What team would have been better as a candidate for a relocation to Los Angeles than the New Orleans Saints? Drew Brees came in, brought that team to an NFC championship alongside Deuce McAllister and Marcus Colston, Reggie Bush, Devery Henderson, Scott Fujita, Scott Shanley, etc., and turned that program back into one that was able to be sustained. He saved the New Orleans Saints. And for years, as the people of the Gulf Coast tried to rebuild everything that had been lost, the New Orleans Saints were all that we had. That's what we had. There was nothing else, right? I remember in that 05 season after the storm, even in a 3-13 year where we were terrible, I remember vividly looking at newspapers the next day across the Gulf Coast from Pensacola, Florida to Biloxi, to Gulfport, to Gulf Shores, all the way over to the coast of Louisiana, and you would see these pictures of people inside the frames of houses. You would see in just the frames of houses, yet they found a way to hook up a generator and a TV and a satellite dish to watch the Saints. I remember watching pictures of crawfish boils that were happening in front of these piles of rubble, and they'd do an interview, and the guy would say, "This was my business. This was where I worked. This is where I made my livelihood, and now it's just this pile of rocks, but I'll be damned if I'm not watching the Saints game." And if it wasn't for Drew Brees, and if it wasn't for the New Orleans Saints, all of that would have gone away. All of that would have gone away. And I don't know that there would have been the dramatic comeback that ultimately the Gulf Coast ultimately ended up having. That was all because of Drew Brees, Sean Payton, Reggie Bush, and those New Orleans Saints showing up, believing in that area, and letting that area help them out as well. It was an unbelievable story, unlike anything I've ever seen before in the world of sports. And that is why it was such an emotional night for New Orleans Saints fans. When I don't know if you watched after that game had concluded, Lonzo, but there was a moment where Brees, after the game had gone final, after he had shaken hands and everything with Tom Brady and the Bucks, he's walking towards the tunnel. He's blowing kisses up towards his family in the box, up towards the fans around the arena. And as he's jogging into the tunnel, he slows up for a second. He kind of turns and looks over his left shoulder, up at the lights of the Superdome, around the stands one more time. And then he walks into the tunnel. And I'm not even going to lie to you, and I feel no shame about it. Dude, I teared up. I really did, because of how important Drew Brees was, not just to me, but to that franchise, to my hometown of New Orleans, Louisiana, to my home region of the entire Gulf Coast. That guy was a savior, so to speak. And so to watch him take that last look around the Superdome, knowing good and gosh darn well that that was probably the last time he would ever see that sight while in gear, it was a heartbreaking moment. I'm happy he has hit retirement. He deserves retirement. He deserves all the good things moving forward. I didn't always see eye to eye with Drew Brees. I didn't always see eye to eye with his business practices. I didn't always see eye to eye with his politics. But at the end of the day, I don't know that New Orleans and I don't know that the Saints are what they are today if it wasn't for that guy. And he deserved a better send-off than COVID gave him.
You know, he did, but at the same time, he stuck with it and he was there. And, I appreciate that, how you feel about it, because I think anybody who roots for someone for such a long period of time and then you're pretty sure they're gone. And at the same time, think about it. At least he got to play his final season, if it is his final season. And even though he didn't go out with a victory, he still got to play. And he played a really long time. This from a guy who people didn't think would amount to anything after the rotator cuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, teams at San Diego bailed on him. Miami wouldn't sign him. New Orleans gave him a chance, and they were rewarded. Not only did he show up, not only did he get them the first Lombardi, not only did he bring them to the playoff years for years and years and years, but again, I don't know that we have a New Orleans Saints today if it's not for Drew Brees. I don't know that the city of New Orleans makes the comeback that it made after Katrina if it's not for Drew Brees. The whole Gulf Coast benefited from him being there, and that's something that I'll never forget, and I'll never be able to be grateful enough for what that guy did as the starting quarterback of my New Orleans Saints for 15 seasons. I mean, it was an unbelievable run that he had. The last 4 years, by the way, speaking of an incredible stat, and look, I recognize what the Saints are, man. We're losers. It's what we are. I embrace it. We're losers, right? The fact that we, over the last 4 years, had more combined wins than any team that did not win a Super Bowl in that same span And we went out to the Minnesota Miracle, the blown no call in 2018, the LA Rams. Of course, the loss this year was 100% on us, but the New Orleans Saints are losers, man. They are, and I'm one of us, all right? But we are losers, and for at least a couple of years, Drew Brees let us forget that we are losers. We always have been. It feels like we're going right back to that place, and I don't care. I said in 2009, 2010, when that Lombardi got hoisted by Sean Payton and Drew Brees, that if I never get to see the Saints win another Super Bowl, I don't care, because I never thought we'd get one. My dad got to see one before he died. My grandma got to see one. Lifelong Saints fans from day number one. And I'll never stop being grateful for that. Even with the blown playoff opportunities, even with the mistakes, at the end of the day, my team is a team of losers, have been from the beginning, and Drew Brees fixed that for us, if only temporarily, and fixed an entire city and saved a franchise in the process, and that will never go away. So that's what he meant to me. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, then we'll jump out and take a break because we are way late. What athlete means the most to you because of their off-the-field activities? Not what they did for your franchise or your team. What athlete means the most to you based on what they did off the field? Text me your answer at 71307. Call in, share your story with us at 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. That's the number. What athlete means the most to you based on what they did off the field? We'll continue to share those stories when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So I've asked you, what athlete has meant the most to you because of what they did off the field? What they did off the field. Drew Brees is easily number one to me, right? There's been a lot of athletes in my career. I'll give you another one. Roy Jones Jr. is way up there on that list for me as well. When I was younger in broadcasting, I got an opportunity to work for Roy Jones' company, Square Ring Productions. Roy's manager was a guy by the name of McGee, who was a fan of my radio show when I was just getting started out. And anyway, a number of years ago, towards the beginning of my career, McGee called my radio station one day and asked if I would come to Pensacola because Roy had an exhibition fight that he wanted me to come and do ring announcing for, which of course I did. Well, Roy told McGee that he liked my ring announcing, that he liked the way that I did interviews after the boxing matches, etc., and told him to get me on the payroll, to get me in. So for a couple of years, I actually got to travel across the country and do ring announcing for Roy Jones Jr. I was kind of his after fights. I was the guy that would climb in the ring and interview Roy and whoever he was fighting and whoever was on the undercard. And I got to meet a lot of big name fighters. Roy Big Country Nelson. You remember Roy Big Country Nelson, Zoe?
Absolutely. Always remember the fat guys.
Yeah, man. I got to interview Roy Big Country a couple of times when he did some MMA boxing split cards with Roy's company a number of years ago. I got to meet guys like that, and it was awesome, man. It was a blast. And then about a year and a half into working, McGee called me and said that Roy was going to be hosting, not fighting on, but hosting a card down in Fort Lauderdale that had a – I don't remember who it was on it now because the it's not even about the fighters. I mean, a couple of previous heavyweight champs, and Roy was going to host them. And Roy had asked McGee to let me be the play-by-play guy. He was going to do color commentary, and Roy specifically wanted to do play-by-play with me. So I got to call a boxing card with Roy Jones Jr. serving Alonzo as my color commentary guy while I was on play-by-play. It was an incredible story.
Was there ever a concern if I say something wrong, I'm getting a right cross, left cross, right? I don't know which side he was sitting on.
You would think, but no, because he was like literally the most chill dude I'd ever worked with, man. Like, and on top of that, he really did. Like, he told me repeatedly during the card, he's like, "Man, you're killing it, man. You're killing it. You're doing a great job. You're killing it." I got to do one or two more bouts with Roy after that one because he enjoyed calling with me. And I honestly believe that that helped make my career. That it was about that time that I started getting noticed to do other jobs. I got into TV because of that job. I got to start hosting some syndicated national shows as a co-host and guest host after that because of that job. Roy Jones Jr. kind of helped make my career, and I'll never be able to be grateful enough. So he's on that list for me as well. What athletes are you is most important in your life based on what they did away from the field and why? Text us your answer at 71307, 71307. Tweet us your story at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo On Word, at ESPN Upstate, or call and come on the air. I want you to come on the air and tell me that story at 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll get Lonzo's story on the flip side. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. So what athlete has meant the most to you based on their off the field, off the court, off the ice activities? The two in my life are Roy Jones Jr., a guy who, unbeknownst to him, I don't even think he knows that he did this, but a guy who helped make my career, and Drew Brees, a guy who helped save my franchise of the New Orleans Saints and in a much more dramatic way. Help save the city of New Orleans, help save the New Orleans Saints, and keep them there in that city so that I could continue to be an NFL fan down the line. I mean, that guy had a remarkable influence on my life away from the field. Not anything he did on it, but everything that he did off of it was enormously important to me. So, again, asking you the same question: what athlete had the biggest impact on your life away from the field? Lonzo.
First of all, I want to say that, you know, telling the Roy Jones story, man, it just, everyone's like, wow, mine isn't like that. That's just, I mean, you know, you throw that out there and people have to compare. I know how this sounds, and it sounds boring, and it sounds like I don't want to participate, but I try to not pay attention to what these athletes do off the field, because I'm probably not going to agree with some of the stuff, and I want to see them doing what they do best on the field. And it's not that I don't care. I love the humanitarian stuff and things like that. I think that is great. But more times than not, when you find something out about the guys that you really love on the field or on the court, if you hear something about them off the field, off the court, it's probably something bad. So I just kind of push that aside and I do other things.
You know, I actually understand that. That is like the expanded version of never meet your heroes, right? Like I can tell you, for every story I have about a guy that I met that helped make my career, I can tell you a story of another athlete that I met that broke my heart, right? Because they ended up being a jerk or they ended up being rude. Emmitt Smith is on that list for me. I loved Emmitt Smith. I hated the Dallas Cowboys, but I loved Emmitt Smith as a guy when I was growing up. And then I met Emmitt Smith one day, and he was rude and obnoxious and condescending, and it was incredibly disappointing because I finally got to meet a hero of mine, and I walked away completely devastated as to who he was as a person. And I think so. I think you're just taking an extended version of that premise and running with it, which I understand. We'll talk more about that. Want your stories? What athlete has meant the most to you based on their away-from-the-field activities? I've got RJJ and Drew Brees. Who's on your list and why? We'll keep talking about that, break down our NFL games, little college basketball talk coming up. Things did not go well over the weekend for Clemson. I'll tell you why. All that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.